Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today with our host, Mike Davis, and today's guest is Dwight Deaton. He is pastor of the Christian Light Church in Gridley. We'll pray into the show today and ask for God's guidance as he goes and gives us the understanding that we need to speak his love and compassion for all who listen. We also pray that you hear all that you would have to be heard in Christ's name, and that it blesses you for the edification of Christ in your life today. Thank you.
So, welcome to Christ Today, and today we have Pastor Deaton from Christian Life Assembly over in Gridley. And Pastor Deaton, welcome to the show today, and one of the things that we'd like to do is if you would go ahead and introduce yourself and also introduce how people get a hold of you, your phone number, address, that sort of thing.
Yes, it is a privilege to be here today, and thank you for the invitation. I am the pastor of Christian Life Assembly in Gridley off of Humble Avenue, and our motto is we are a growing church that loves people, and getting a hold of me is not hard. Sometimes I can be found at the Black Bear or at McDonald's, but if you want to reach me by phone, my private phone is area code 530-520-7337, and our church is 846-2358, and our website is Christian Life CLA Gridley at yahoo.com.
Okay. Excellent. Well, welcome. One of the reasons that we were so struck to have you here is because on the 25th of June, we had a gathering in Gridley of a multi-denominational gathering, let's say. I don't want to call it a non-denominational gathering because non-denominational has a connotation that it's all sorts of, you know, different things coming in. But it was a multi-denominational gathering of like-minded Christians, and our entire purpose was to pray over the city. Would you go ahead and talk about that a little bit?
Yes. This is something that was birthed in my heart at our annual convention in Sacramento. At one of the sermons, message of the evening, was concerning about working and being involved in the kingdom, and I certainly believe and always have believed that that prayer changes things, but sometimes we don't really put our prayers into action. And I was challenged to do something when I come back to Gridley. And one of those things was let's do a prayer walk that involves the churches of our community. So I talked with one of the ladies who has a real burden and a real heart for souls, Joyce Elliott, and I put her kind of in charge of directing it, and we came up and began to send out letters to our churches, and five of our churches really responded, and I thought that was a tremendous, for the first time, a tremendous showing. And I wanted it to show not only that we believe in prayer and we put works with our prayers, but also I wanted to bring together churches that maybe we have isolated ourselves too much. I believe in unity, and I think all of us believe in unity in our churches. And sometimes we think of that unity only in our body of believers. But I think when it talks to unity, we're talking about believers, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And when a community begins to see and to feel the results of a unified prayer effort with all of our churches, and we begin to see that happen, I believe that we're going to see tremendous fruit that comes from it in due season. Everything has its season. We don't expect all overnight to all of our churches in Gridley to be filled, but we're one by one, a little bit here, a little bit there, and God receives glory from it. But we had this prayer walk on the 25th, and we had 30-something people to show up, and some of them could not walk, and they stayed in the park and prayed. Others went up and down the streets, and I made an emphasis that we're not there to bring attention to ourselves. We're there to really exemplify what we say we believe, and that we believe in the power of prayer, and what God, what we do in secret, God will then reward us openly. And we went up and down the streets and praying specifically for homes and their businesses, that they would be blessed and they would recognize that the hand of God and the favor of God was upon them because people were praying for them. And I felt personally it was a real success in my spirit that God's going to be doing some great things. And this is only the beginning. This is just is something just to break the ice. And I expect more of the churches to be involved in some of our other efforts that is not only done by our church, but is done by other churches in the community. And as we continue to do these things, I believe God is going to reward our efforts through souls being saved.
Absolutely. And being a part of that prayer walk was quite an honor for me personally, because it gave me an opportunity to fellowship with God on a more personal level. Because when you're walking by certain businesses or you're walking by the public school, you know, the Lord has, in many cases, you know, has a mission for that city to minister to that business or to that school. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will guide you in what God wants you to pray for, what God wants you to pray against. Because I think it's Matthew 16, and maybe again in Matthew 18, Jesus said, whatsoever on earth you bind shall be bound mm-hmm. in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So how important is it when you pray to speak that prayer, to confirm that prayer, especially when you're in a gathering of two or more, because they can agree with that prayer and they can speak that prayer. So talk a little bit about agreement among the churches, and because you used a really important word here, unity, and it is incredibly important to be unified, even if you're in a group of two or three praying for a school, mm-hmm. a public school, to speak those words and declare that school kingdom for, or that school for the kingdom of God.
Amen. Out of the heart, man speaks. Out of your heart, wherever your heart is, that's what comes out of your mouth. And I think that it is very important for churches and Christians themselves individually to begin to speak what really is happening. Faith is the substance hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When I'm convinced of something, I'm not muted. I begin to speak it if I'm convinced of it. And so I think that as we become convinced in our heart of what God desires for us to do. I heard a slogan the other day, and it really resonated with me, and it just simply says, to be found in his field. And we know from the Word of God, the field is the world. And we're not of the world, but we're in it. Mm-hmm. So when we as individuals and as a body of believers come together and begin to cry out for souls. Scripture tells us time and time again how that God has a heart to see people saved. And I think that if we've got to develop that same heart, if that same mind be in us, then that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. He is also to raise up people that are dead in their trespasses and sin. And we need to have that unified voice of saying, Jesus loves, Jesus saves, Jesus is not willing for any to perish. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but he came to save. Jesus is what you need in your life. And begin to say that in unified effort. And when that one voice goes out, I believe it has power and authority. And we have authority, not in ourselves, but we have authority through the Word of God, because Christ has given us that authority to speak his word, to speak in with the power of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we all plant some water, but then God gives the increase. And that brings glory to him, not to man.
Amen. I can hear, I can feel the Holy Spirit moving right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bring up such good points, because the Word of God says deep calls unto deep.
Yes.
You know, it's not shallow calling unto shallow. You know, you've got to get deep with God. If you're not getting deep with God, then that's what God wants you to cry out for. I mean, that's worthy of a prayer itself. That is a good prayer. If you find that your prayer life is only a shallow, you know, looks more like a drive-by than it does, you know, spending some quality time with God and getting deep with the things of God. How can two walk together unless they agree?
Yes.
And you can't get into agreement with if you don't know God. You don't know whether or not you're in agreement, but the more our wills match his will, then to say yes to our prayers is to say yes to his own will. So we've got to get deep with God, and we got to stop this shallow sandbox playing with God. Talk a little bit about reverence. How important is reverence for a true Christian walk?
Well, God is God. And all we have to do is to look into the heavens and look at his handiwork around us and recognize that he's beyond us and beyond our finding out. He is, and a God like that has to be reverenced. I've often said this, if our God has to, we have to understand everything that about our God, because there's some things that we don't understand and we have to accept it by faith. If we could understand God, then he wouldn't be God. He would be one of us, just the good old boys. And so when we recognize who he is, and what he's done, and what he has accomplished for mankind, there's only one thing to do. You have to be in awe. You have to tremble at the sound of his name, because he is so awesome and so great, and a God so great and awesome that could put his thumb upon mankind any time, and to have such love and compassion, mercy and patience with mankind. My patience runs out real fast. And it would, if I was God, everybody better be glad that I'm not even resemble God, because my patience is very thin sometimes. But God, he is just, his mercy endures forever. His love and compassion never ceases. He is the God the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I make my mistakes and I stumble and fall, he's not there to kick me and while I'm down. He's there to pick me back up and to lift and to forgive me of my mistakes and to encourage me to continue on and to overcome every obstacle. And not only to overcome, but he gives me the tools to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. As that paraclete that comes alongside and helps me when I fall down, he picks me back up, puts his arm around me, and walks with me through the storms and through the problems, and to where I can say that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
And how gracious a Holy Spirit to not only embrace you and comfort you and just hug you with unspeakable love, and then nudge you. and say, time to move. No, we're not resting here. The rest is over. It's now time to get back to work.
That's right.
And he will work in us, too. The work that we're doing oftentimes mirrors the work that the Holy Spirit would do in us. You know, he's often preparing us for what he has next for us. And so, you know, when you have a prayer walk in Gridley, California, sometimes that's to open doors, multiple doors, at multiple times, at just in the due season, as the Bible says, because God's timing is perfect, and we can't even fathom God's timing. We're just about to get to a break, so let's take a little bit of a break here, and then we'll go ahead and get back, because I want to bring up a point that may take a couple minutes to get through.
Good. And this segment of our show is brought to you by Pastor Bill Hammond of Lighthouse Tabernacle Church on Ohio Street in Gridley. Always, our sponsors are glad to see you, so if you have a chance, please go and see him and his church. Now we are back to Christ Today with our guest, Dwight Deaton. So welcome back.
And Pastor Deaton, I want to get into a subject that I know that we've talked a little bit about on this show before, but I do want your take on this. I'm going to say a statement, and then I'm going to let you run, okay? And that statement is, God's Word is not a smorgasbord.
That's right. We can't just come and pick and choose what we want to believe and expect the favor of God. We have to take the difficult things. It's through the difficult things that we have to work through is what strengthens us. The Bible says that we go from strength to strength. We don't go from weakness to strength. As a Christian, we go from strength to strength. We add to it continually, adding on a little bit here, a little bit there, and continue to go on for Christ. If we don't take the Word of God as the absolute truth, then we begin to pick and choose. But when we recognize that He is the authority, He wrote that Word, and He put it actually up on our hearts. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, that Word becomes alive then in our hearts and our lives. And we know the truth. And the Bible tells us that in Romans tells us that we are without excuse, man is, because he is the very nature of things, the very existence of things that he has created is evidence of the things of God. And so we must live by every word that comes from the Word of God, not just the nice little quotes that we like to hear. Sometimes we like to hear that God wants to bless us and make us rich. Well, there's a lot of ways of getting rich. We know that riches of this world is going to be done away with, but the riches of God that He prepares and put is in our heart are eternal and everlasting. So those are the things that really make people rich. It's not the things of this world. It's not that I would not accept to being rich in this world, but it is not my main priority in life. It is to honor the Lord. It is to please Him in the things that I do in life, and to build not my kingdom, but build the kingdom, His kingdom, upon earth.
Well, amen. And the fact is that there are things in this world that money cannot buy. No amount of money can buy peace. No amount of money can buy love. No amount of money can buy the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. There are spiritual blessings that absolutely don't have a price tag on. They're free from God, but they can cost us everything. I mean, salvation is free.
That's right.
Jesus paid the ultimate cost for our salvation, but discipleship costs you everything.
That's right.
You don't. There's nothing in this world worth hanging on to that would then turn around and cost you what you've just gained. There's no gain for this world. So the Holy Spirit becomes our schoolmaster. Not necessarily the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the law. We're told by Paul that the law is our schoolmaster, leading us to the knowledge of our need for Christ Jesus, our knowledge of sin. And so the Holy Spirit uses that law in order to convict us and then to change us, but we have to agree with the change. We are fellow laborers together with God. If God is going to do the work in us, then we've got to agree that job needs to be done in a meekness. We were to receive the word of God with meekness so it can change us.
Absolutely.
So talk about the changes. Not that we all hope that prayer walk in Gridley is, we know that it is created already a disruption in the spirit, the spiritual realm, in Gridley. But talk for a little bit about what that did to the individuals that were involved in that.
Amen. Well, I believe that what I heard from people is that they was very much encouraged and inspired to do more for God. And I believe the eyes were open that there's people in other churches besides ours that love God, that want to do something for God. I didn't see no distinction. There was two or three different denominations there, but I seen no difference in any of them. We all had the same heart and the same mind, and the joy was there and the togetherness was there. And one of the things, and I mentioned it there at the prayer walk after we concluded in the park, is that I never had the opportunity and never seen the exact fruit that is going to come out of that. I didn't pray with any particular person. There wasn't very many people out at that time, and there were some other things going on, I think, that people wasn't out in their yards. But what really captivated my heart, and it made me sensitive to this, is that every individual home, I could see different things. I seen swings in their yard. I seen children's toys, and that tells you a story that there's children in the home. There's a family. There is loved ones there. They all have their problems. Every family has their unique situations in life. And I became, as I prayed, more sensitive that those are individuals having everyday life, like in my own home, but having different situations. Their needs is just as great as mine, sometimes greater. And it kind of brought me out to that sensitivity area that not to look at the house, but to look who lives in the house, and that they are going through their own unique challenges in life. I often go down the highway and I say to myself, why don't some of these people go home? There's too many cars on the road, but realizing I was one of them, and they're probably saying the same thing to me. But every one of them is going to a particular place. They have a particular agenda that they're going through at that time. And we don't even know what is going to happen in between. Some of them may be in a car wreck. Some family member may pass away. But to be sensitive to other people's hearts and other people's needs in their life, and to have a desire to acknowledge that and to help people in any way you can. And the greatest way I think that we can do is collectively is that we have a Heavenly Father that is really, really ready to help people. And I believe He just needs a unified cry from God's people that begin to cry out for help. And I believe the Holy Spirit can do the work.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about selfishness while we're here, because Selfishness has a lot of connotations, and a lot of times the connotation is, well, it's just all about me, and it's about what I want and what my needs are. And sometimes even people who are trying to change themselves and not, you know, because change is a process.
Yeah.
And a Christian change, a change from the inside, the spiritual change, that happens only through God. We don't change ourselves. It's God that works in us, both the will and to do his good pleasure, according to Philippians chapter 2. So my suggestion would be that when you have a Christian that is trying to roll up their sleeves and do a self-help project on themselves, sometimes that can be the ultimate in selfishness, because they're so let's say, focused on what their needs are and what their problems are, that a lot of times God is just saying, I don't want you to think less of yourself. I just want you to think of yourself less.
Absolutely.
You are wonderfully and fearfully made. I have created you to reign and to rule, and I will do the work in you. I will give you the gifts and the calling. I'll give you what is necessary for you to succeed at what I'm going to ask you to accomplish. I just want you to get your eyes off the mirror and start, as you said, start looking at the needs of those that are around you. Some of the needs just leap out at you. And I think that the important thing to talk about and to recognize is this prayer walk that we accomplished last Saturday, that was one small step.
Yes.
In a very big journey that needs to happen, okay? And yet, like the mustard seed, okay, it will grow into a mighty tree if we water it, if we pray over it. We have to bathe it in prayer. And then we have to follow on. We have to follow up. We have to weed this thing, and we have to nourish it, and we have to press on. But those people who came out for that one small step, okay, even within themselves, is now a brand new seed of faith for Gridley. And we can go ahead and depend on God nurturing that as we have stepped out in agreement with him. We are now a co-laborer together with God for Gridley. And this needs to happen throughout the listening area. Everybody in every city can call for a unified prayer walk through their particular city sometime between now and the time school starts. And I specifically would suggest that simply because we need to bathe some of these schools in prayer before the students ever arrive. Let's go ahead and put a prayer covering over these, and let's shake up the heavenlies before the trouble ever starts.
That's right. Our culture today is creating a selfish generation where it is all about themselves. And certainly we know that the Bible tells us that not to think of ourselves too highly, to prefer others before ourselves. And that is in direct conflict with our culture that is in today's society. It's being taught at a very young age. And the challenge of the church is to, through humility, Jesus humbled himself. And I think humility is a great tool. It's not a weakness, it's a strength. And I think that when we've got a generation of narcissists that only thinks of themselves, when they see truly a humble person not feeling like they have to prove things through the same tools that the world uses, but the humility becomes their strength, we can teach a generation that you don't have to build your world all around yourself, but you can prefer others, and you can live to help others rather than yourself, and make it a rewarding experience. And so more and more as people grow into themselves, they isolate themselves from society itself. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we're having an awfully lot of weird people today. is because they don't know how to communicate in a society. They've grown into themselves and therefore left out the greatest thing that we have, and that is that we have a way of communicating with mankind, with other people, and to experience other people's experiences, and to let that be a value to us, a teaching tool for all of us.
So do you think we need a fast from technology on a regular basis?
Oh, boy. That's a good one. I think technology is great. It's a wonderful tool. The problem has come to my mind through technology is that people do not have the discipline in their lives to handle all the technology. You have answers at a fingertip. You can ask any question, talk into your phone, and get the answers, which is a wonderful tool for understanding and knowledge. But I have seen this, and I'm sure every pastor has seen this in their own congregation, is that you have Christians that are addicted to their phones and to the internet and to all kinds of, their minds cannot focus very long on outside of that on any other thing, but it draws them back to their phone to where that they're, whether it's Facebook or the internet or what have you, they seem to not be able to put it in the right perspective. And that's the challenge that we have today in this day's society.
Okay, so to paraphrase Jesus, he said basically, go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody compels you to go with them 1 mile, go with them two. Okay. Talk a little bit about a society that now travels at 65 miles an hour.
Oh, boy. It's a different world. I grew up, my main childhood was in the 50s and early 60s and different world that we live in. And everybody's going so fast today that they don't have time to slow down. It's a reason I think that we have a lot of problems with people not knowing how to pray today, because it takes time to pray.
Yes,
you can't microwave prayer, and so people try to say a couple of words and we I grew up in the ideal that sometimes we have to really pray through.
Well, that, and yes, and that's what I was talking about. I was referring to a little bit when I said deep calls unto deep. It takes time to get deep.
Yes, it does.
It really does. It takes an investment, and it takes patience, and patience with yourself sometimes, because I know that there are times when I will try to pray, and I am just as dry as last year's timber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't seem to get breaking through. And, you know, that's when one of the most important prayers I think that somebody can pray is, God, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
Jesus, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
Because that's a prayer that God desires to answer for us is, you know, because you can, we're told in Psalms, the psalmist said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But there are some times when I'm just at a blank. I just am in that whirlwind of, you know, you have so, it's not negativity per se, but it's busyness.
Yeah.
It's just hectic schedule in such a way that every time I sit down to pray, I've got something reminding me of all the different things that were undone.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to get deep sometimes, and it takes practice. Talk a little bit about the practice of fellowship.
Amen. Well, practice is a very important thing. That's actually education. We do everything by repetition, and so we practice it. And I believe we need to practice prayer. Prayer comes in many forms. We praise. Sometimes we pray on our knees. Sometimes we pray when it talks about praying with ceasing. Of course, we can't sit down on our knees all the time and pray. But if prayer is just simply talking to God, and when we can talk to Him as our God, and we're a friend of God, and we can talk to Him on a relationship basis, that we know that He is our God, and you know that He is our Heavenly Father, that we can just talk to Him. And that's my just every day. I come to the place of saying, God, I need inspiration. I've got to have something to give to this people this Sunday. You've got to inspire my heart, because my heart's not there.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. I've got to be in tune, and you're going to have to help me. If you don't help me, these people are going to go. They're going to go hungry, and if you don't do it, if you don't come, I'm not going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, God is able to. Through that, He never has failed. I've been preaching for 50 years, and I've preached some pretty lousy sermons. But, you know, I've also preached some pretty inspired sermons because the Holy Spirit was there. I remember one time as a young Christian, I was just starting out preaching. And that's when I thought that, you know, 10 minutes of preaching is a lifetime. You know, how in the world can you get 10 minutes of sitting up before people and preaching, you know? And I was invited to preach at a certain church, and I preached, and I just fell flat on my. I was so low. You know the old saying that I always say. You know, my lip was so low I could suck marbles out of a gopher hole. You know, and I felt lousy. But after the service was over and after the altar call was given, people began to come up to me and say, "Dwight, you don't know how much I needed what you had to say. Maybe just one, because it's inspired when the Holy Spirit is involved. He is the teacher. He is the speaker. He just uses this vessel or our mouth to speak the words, but He's the one that grabs a hold of people's hearts and lives. So we need that. We need to understand that it is God in us, not us. It's God in us that's doing all the tremendous work that needs to be done.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take a break.
Good. What a good message this is about prayer and speaking and preaching. We all need this, every one of us. And for this segment of the radio program, our sponsor is Pastor Ken Malone of the New Life Church in Thermalito. That's at 965 Grand Avenue in Thermalito. He has his worship service at 10:30 on Sunday. And that is the same time that our pastor, Dwight Deaton, today has his worship service, 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. Now go and see him. He's at the Christian Light Church in Gridley. Thank you, and welcome back.
Pastor Deaton, welcome back. And we just left off when we're talking about the Holy Spirit uses our words, uses our actions. We're the children, so... of God. So if we are accomplishing whatever we're accomplishing in the Holy Spirit, He's going to empower us. So even if what we produce doesn't look all that special, God can still bless it. Speak a little bit about stepping out when you're not really feeling all that prepared, like God has given you a mission too big for just yourself. And that isn't that God's specialty?
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, preparation is a very important part. We need to do our best and allow God then to do the impossible. Because I used to think that you could do this by yourself. When I was first starting out, it was all about me. But I've learned very quickly that it is the Holy Spirit in us, and we have to allow Him to minister through us and recognize that. Some of my a few of my greatest sermons that I've ever preached, and has come when I felt as though that I wasn't prepared, even though I had prayed and asked God, but it just didn't seem like it was going to go over that good. But as the Holy Spirit came, and He rested upon my mind and my understanding, I began to speak things that I never learned. And so it's the Holy Spirit working through us and in us. He is the one that's going to do the work. The minute that we think that we've got a handle on this thing, it's kind of like golf. You know, one day you go out and you just feel really good and you're hitting the ball straight and you say, I got this thing figured out. And the next time you go out, you can't even hit the ball. It's kind of like that with preaching. If you think you got this thing figured out, that you're just going to hit a home run all the time and you can do it all by yourself and everything's going to work out, you'll find out that you're going to have tremendous, I don't care what your education background is, how much experience you've had. Let me tell you, without the Holy Spirit, it falls on fallow ground and it on unprepared ground, and it will not be able to take root.
Absolutely, and isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13 says? That
yes,
I can speak and have all sorts of wisdom and understanding, but if it is not connected with the love of God, I'm in trouble.
Real trouble. Real trouble.
I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I can do apart from God. And that's what Jesus said in I think it was John chapter 15. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Nothing. Yep. That's
do a word study on nothing. It means really nothing.
Not very much.
That's the truth. So we have to let God be God in everything. And we have to, and that's, I think, why Paul said, pray without ceasing. Why? Because if you do not soak it in prayer, you have to make sure that what you're doing is connected with the Holy Spirit, so it will have a godly outcome. Because if we run around in our own strength, we're gonna offend people.
Yeah,
And that's in this day and age, especially the day and age of Facebook and social medias and other things like that. There's a lot of offense today that you wouldn't normally have, and I think it's because there's so much more communication.
Yeah.
But it's communication, again, on that shallow level. It's not deep any way.
Well, we see things in our larger churches, and we see it on television, and I can appreciate much of it. We have today a great potential in all the technology that's had. Large churches are using backdrops and lights and smoke and all the. All of this is good, and it creates an atmosphere. It's a visual that we can enter in and focus more when we have something that is visual. That's our humanity. That's all right, but the danger is that we begin to perform, and what happens is that people get excited, and they can get emotional. But unless the ground has been prepared, unless that seed is able to fall upon good soil, it'll be just like the one that falls upon the rocks, and because of lack of root, it soon the sun comes out and burns it, or those are the thorns and the world chokes it out. Or what, those things begin to happen. Sometimes through our own efforts, we pick people green, and they're not ripe. They're not ready to receive Christ because the soil has not prepared, the seed has not been soaked in tears, and to where that when they hear the gospel, they receive it into their heart, and because their heart is changed, they are transformed into the likeness of Christ. They're forgiven, and they truly appreciate and love God for that forgiveness. It's not just an emotional thing that their emotions change tomorrow, and there they go back to the same old habits and the same way of life. But my Bible tells me that old things pass away and that all things become new. It's becoming new. We are being renewed in a relationship with Him. And like you said before, it's a process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we are continually being changed. We're taking off the old clothes and putting on some new clothes of righteousness. And so it is a process, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for our efforts, and thank God for our wisdom and the technology that we have, and it's very much can be used and should be used. God gave it to us, but not dependence upon the program or upon the what it, we see, because things which are seen are not faith. Those things which are not seen is faith, and we must live by faith in order to please God.
Well, absolutely, and I think that there are a lot of people that are sitting in pews today, and even our listening audience that may be shut-ins or, you know, that are not, you know, visiting churches on a regular basis. All Christians need to understand that God has, as C.S. Lewis spoke in his book Mere Christianity, God has a plan for us, and that plan is perfection.
That's right.
It's not just a better label on the same old mess.
Yeah.
What we're doing here is God is perfecting us, and He's in the perfection business. And so if you're stopping short and not allowing God to have His way in every area of your life, know if you've been a Christian for 5 or 10 years, you're probably not doing the same thing. We hope you're not doing the same thing that you were doing before you ever recognized your need for Christ. But God is cleaning up our attitudes, even while, you know, some of us are running around with pretty stinky attitudes.
Yeah.
Even though it's not showing up in maybe our actions or maybe even our conversation or whatever. But some of us have some attitudes that God has to, you know, relieve us of and perfect us in those attitudes. Jesus said, those who are forgiven much love much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not, and Paul said, In Romans, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Heaven forbid. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that, oh, I need to go out and sin a lot more because I don't love the Lord near as much as I do. No, you need to read your word, the word of God.
That's right.
You need to read your Bible, and that will convict you that of some things that says, oh, I've already been forgiven of that. Because when you realize exactly what condition you really were in, I think most of us have a pretty shallow view of what our sin life was really like when God rescued us. I don't think that any of us really appreciated how far from the mark we were.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people running around that thinks, oh, I just missed that. I didn't hit the bullseye. I wasn't even on the target.
Yeah.
I didn't even make it to the field. So the, you know, God, when He rescues some of us, he then, through the study of our Bible, you know, and we recognize how far we are still, you know, just in our attitudes, you know, it's not that you're going out and doing wicked things, but you have an attitude and a heart condition that still needs a little polish, and that's what the Holy Spirit is for, is to draw you near and give you a big hug and brush you off a little bit and say, okay, let's try this again.
Do it again. That's
glory
right.
to glory.
That's right. That's right.
The glory of His grace.
Amen.
So let's talk a little bit about the future. What do you have in mind for the future? Are there any other outreach plans that you have?
Yeah, I really want to see our churches make a visible mark in our community. I think that Gridley has a lot of churches, but really, most of them are invisible. They're stuck off in their corner, and we're in that little box, what we call our sanctuary, and I'd like to see the walls kind of go down, and begin to have a voice in the community where people are. become church-minded and Christ-minded when they see it. So I'd like to see us have, we got some beautiful parks in Gridley for a number of many churches as possible to sponsor each individual church, sponsor a church service on a Sunday evening. And we have hundreds of people to come out to a park. That would get the attention of our community and leaders. And to have it just a good old-fashioned church service where we all worship together and praise the Lord and hear the preaching of the gospel and get it outside of our walls.
Amen. That sounds like a great opportunity. And you're right, Gridley is a beautiful city with many parks. They're working on that one park with the gazebo.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that we can get the churches to come back and dedicate that park.
Yeah.
That would be sensational, because a lot of things happen in parks after dark that ought not to happen. And I'd love to shake up the heavenlies, you know, before that ever takes root.
Amen. Amen. We can have an influence. I'm thankful for our mayor, Frank Hall. He is now reinstituting a time where ministers can come and pray over the city council, invoke the blessings of God upon them, and I'm glad for that. That is another thing that that can really help our community, is recognizing that we need the wisdom of God. We need His mind. And even though those city councils, some of them may not be living a life that is what we would call a Christian life, they can still be influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit through our prayers and through our devotion. And so I'm encouraged by that also in our community.
Absolutely. But, you know, very rarely does an unbeliever just say, you know, I'm not going to join you in prayer, but do they say, I don't even want you to pray for me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? There's no atheists in a foxhole,
yeah,
is my understanding. And this world is becoming more and more foxhole-ish.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where people are, you know, for lack of a better term, they're I feel like they're building the sandbags, you know, they're filling the sandbags ready for that time, that, because everybody, even the non-Christians that I know, are running around saying, what in the world is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
What is, so they feel the tremors, not just the spiritual tremors, but they feel the economic tremors, and they feel the political tremors, and they feel, you know, the societal tremors. When you have just chaos going on around us, it's nice to have that peace that surpasses understanding.
That's right. That's right.
So talk a little bit about not just the city of Gridley. Do you have a plan or a mission for all of NorCal?
You know, I heard a number of years ago a prophetic message that was given, that they seen a great fireball rolling down from the Redding area down through this valley. And we know that fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And I really do believe that this, our central Northern California, this valley, is ripe for a real true revival. It's been a long time since we've seen a real genuine move of God. We've had our revival meetings. We've had some good services. We've had God's move. But what I'm envisioning is that I remember a few years ago down in Modesto, the Calvary Temple Church there, Assembly, they began to have revival, and that went on, I believe it was for 13 weeks, and it absolutely changed the whole town of Modesto. And thousands and thousands of people received Christ into their heart and life. And of course, many of them are still living for God and serving God. That's the kind of thing that, in fact, I mentioned in my Sunday morning service, wouldn't it be wonderful instead of saying, well, there's a revival in Toronto, or there's a revival in Brownsville, there's a revival down in Los Angeles, but there was a revival in Gridley, that people came from all over ready to receive something from the Lord, bringing their sick and bringing those that that need something in their life, bringing them to our churches and seeing a great revival in that respect for healings and salvations and people's needs being met. That's the kind of thing that is, the old thing of Azusa Street many years ago, where houses was on fire, but there was no fire. It wasn't being burned. And these are literally things that have been documented that actually happened. Fire engines came out to put out fires, but they couldn't put it out. It was the power. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit that was moving upon their lives and in that community. Why can't God do it again? Just do it again. And I believe he'll respond to the cry and the hearts of people.
Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's
he
right.
hasn't changed. He's still willing.
He's there.
Who's in his way?
He's waiting. He's waiting. Yep.
We need to go. I think that we need to go ahead and have a constant house cleaning. We have to clean the things out of our lives.
That's
so
right.
That we are prepared.
That's right.
For what he has for
That's
us.
Right.
We have just a couple minutes left. Why don't you go ahead and finish us off with any challenges to our listeners and
yes.
Go ahead and pray.
I think my heart is that we all, pastors out there, if you're listening and church members, we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. And the devices of one that the devil has used that in past years is they put competition between churches, and so it divides us, and that tears down the unity. And where God always works in unified areas. And so if we can tear down those walls and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe his blood was shed for our salvation, we got more than enough in common to not be in competition, but to be together in unity. I want to pray now that we would all have that kind of unity right now. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love for us that is unspeakable. We just thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your mercy. We ask, God, that mercy and goodness flow, Lord, through our communities. Lord, that Gridley especially, Lord, right now, would let it be a hub of revival that just spreads across our entire valley, Lord. So we ask for your help. We need your help. We cry out for your help. And we ask, God, that you direct us and we have your mind. Give us your heart. Give us your mind. Give us, Lord, the tools that we need. And, Lord, we'll do the work in the name of Jesus Christ. For your glory and for your honor alone, Lord, we hide us behind the cross. Let us not be seen, but let you be seen in all the things that we do and say. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.